If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. So what is faith? How do you get it? How do you lose it? What are Jordan Peterson and all who endlessly wrestle with God getting wrong about it? Let's dive in. Before I talk about what faith is and how to get more of it, let me first tell you what faith is not. One, faith is not following rules and obeying perfectly. Jordan Peterson was asked a straightforward question in an interview. Since he frequently talks about God and about the Bible, he was asked, "Do you believe in God?" And he replied with kind of a roundabout answer. He said, "I act as if God exists." In another interview, he was pushed on the question and he said, quote, "God isn't something you believe in. People say all the time that they're Christians. That's hard there, buddy. That's the most difficult possible commitment by definition. It's the hoisting of the cross. Really? You're going to commit to that, are you?" Guys, I say this with reverence for the man because he's taking life's big questions really seriously, more seriously than most people on earth, but he couldn't be more wrong about faith, which is the end goal of all our wrestling with God. Of course, he's right that a moral life is a requirement of faith, but a reduction of faith to those high moral standards that faith leads to, that's a reduction of Christianity to moralism. We can call that Phariseeism. And Jesus literally, repeatedly preached against that. Guys, to believe is simply to cling to Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, despite my failure to live up to who he is. Hard stop. And listen, the rules matter. The high moral standards, they matter a lot. Just like following certain rules and regulations and standards matter in a marriage. But they matter because they come from a love relationship, and they matter because they keep me in that love relationship. But the rules and the relationship are not the same thing. So number one, faith is not moral perfectionism. It's not how I'm acting. And if it was, that would bring me into a relationship of conditional love with God. And as miserable as that is, to live in a conditional love relationship with a father who's going to smash you if you don't live just right, as miserable as that is, I think some people opt for that because it's safe in a strange way. Because it keeps faith and religion and my relationship with God under the power of my will, my wrestling. So that's one. Number two, faith is also not me, quote, getting it, which would put my relationship with God under the power of my intellect. Under my power in both cases. That's basically keeping me as God of my life. St. Augustine said, "I don't understand that I might believe. I believe that I might understand." In John 6, when Jesus got super confusing with his followers for the first time, people who didn't get it anymore, who didn't find it fitting neatly under their understanding, left him. This is from John 6. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." The word used in the Greek there is to gnaw on my flesh. It was the same word that people would use to describe gnawing on meat. Whoa. And in John 6:66, people found this teaching difficult and left him. They walked away. See, guys, because those people, they actually weren't following Jesus all along. They were following teachings that he was setting forth insofar as those teachings made sense to them. See, there's a big difference between those two things. And the moment that Jesus brought them in beyond the powers of their own intellect, into the cloud of unknowing, into waters that were literally above their head, they checked out. They didn't want to follow that anymore. And guys, here's the thing. Even if they did, quote, get it, or maybe they saw a Eucharistic miracle, that wouldn't necessarily equal faith in Jesus. One night, my mother-in-law, Sylvia, was up late talking to her brother-in-law, Ed, trying to convince him about the existence of God. And their conversation stretched deep into the night. And eventually, Ed said, "Look, Sylvia, if God picked up this table in front of me, then I'd believe in him. If this just levitated off the floor right now." And he was quiet, and a minute passed, and he chuckled, and he said, "Actually, I probably still wouldn't believe in him." Guys, here's the thing. You can't study your way into faith. You can't prove someone else into faith either. And don't get me wrong, facts and proofs are important. They have a role, but they're not enough. Here's what they do. They can lead someone to the threshold of faith, just like a good moral life can lead someone to the threshold of faith. But something more is required to cross over that threshold, into the relationship with God that faith is. See, that's because the end goal of faith, it's not a topic I get and I get an A on. It's a relationship I enter into. It's like marriage. I learned all the facts about Natalie. She met all the checks on my list. I met 10% of the checks on her list, as is usually the case with men and the women who are far out of their league, and thank God for Natalie's mercy. But guys, here's the deal. All the facts and checks and the reasons, they could only lead me to the threshold of marriage. I eventually had to make a choice. My will had to push my intellect beyond where it could go by itself. And this is the interior action that happens with faith. My will pushed my intellect beyond where it could possibly go, because I can't possibly grasp all that is in this person anyway. And all the grasping I could do could only lead me to this place. And eventually I had to produce a ring. And I knelt down and I was going to say, will you marry me? But I said, and she said, yes. That's literally how it happened. 6 kids and 5 grandkids later, hallelujah. But guys, the same is true with God. The facts can only lead you to the threshold of faith. Eventually, your will has to push your intellect beyond where it could go by itself. And you got to make a decision. It's not a blind leap, but it's a leap nonetheless, where you say, I've seen enough. I make a choice. Credo. I believe. Or you can get to that threshold and do what countless skeptics do, like Ed, and remain in a state of perpetual skepticism that leaves you, yes, in control, but ultimately leaves you empty and leaves you closed off to life's most profound, beautiful realities, the ones you can't control, which, by the way, is pretty much every meaningful relationship in your life, including your relationship with God. So back to the test of faith in John 6. He didn't just give that test to the crowds, but also his apostles. He usually would pull them aside and give them an explanation to help make his teaching more palatable. In this case, he didn't. First off, because he meant it literally, but also because he was testing their faith. He basically said, guys, are you going to leave me too? And Peter gives the ultimate response of faith. No, Lord, we won't leave you because we understand. Transubstantiation means that even though the accidents remain the same and everything looks the same on the outside, the substance has changed. And he didn't say that. He said, Lord, where else are we going to go? You have the words of life. Note this, guys. Peter didn't, quote, get it. He didn't have the advantage of learning about Eucharistic miracles like we can Google and learn about now. He didn't have the advantage of metaphysical distinctions between substance and accidents like Aristotle and Aquinas brought into the world. He didn't even have the advantage of a refined moral and spiritual life. So what did Peter have? He had a choice. And he chose Jesus, the object and end and goal of our faith. He basically said, Lord, I don't get it. I don't even get myself, but I get you, and I trust you. So if you say so, I'll cling to whatever you say because I cling to you. Guys, that's faith. And the spiritual measure of a man isn't how well he can wrestle with God his entire life. It's how well he can let God win the wrestling match. Like Peter did. So, what is faith? Funny you should ask. The Catechism of the Catholic Church defines faith as, quote, faith is the theological virtue by which we believe in God and believe all that he has said and revealed to us, and that Holy Church proposes for our belief about God because he is truth itself. By faith, man freely commits his entire self to God. So, in other words, faith is a gift from God that enables you to gift yourself back to God, to submit your intellect, your will, your understanding. In response to the gift of himself, you say, okay, Lord, I give myself back to you. That's why it's the fundamental requirement for entering into a relationship with God at all. So how do you get it? How do you grow in it? Here's where the rubber meets the road. Number one, ask for faith. I love the story in Scripture where a man, his son was sick, and he asked Jesus, he said, Lord, if you can heal him. And Jesus said, if I can, everything is possible for one who believes. And he cried out in response, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. What a beautiful prayer that is. You feel like you're struggling with faith? Guys, pray that prayer. Ask for it. It's a readily available given gift, but you gotta ask. And often ask, even if you have faith, for an increase in faith. Lord, increase my belief. Number two, if you want to believe, act like you believe. In Catholic tradition, professing faith is sometimes called making an act of faith. Because just like love or any relationship, entering into it and also staying in it comes down to a repeat choice in the end. I choose love every day. You know, I also choose faith every day, the foundation of my relationship with God. And that's especially important to do when your faith is tried, when it's feeling weak. Dude, don't give in to that. Push back on that. Don't say, I am feeling faithless today. Say, you know what? I'm going to act faithful today. So do something faith-filled or dig deep, man. In those moments that it's really being tried, if all you got in you is, Lord, I believe, even if I don't really feel that real strongly, just say it. Say it again and again, and the faith will grow within you. And then number three, fill your life with holy stuff. I suppose we could talk for another hour about what that means, but what does that mean for you? What's holy stuff? Whether it's the music you're listening to, the stuff you're reading, the stuff you're watching on TV, put that stuff more and more in your life, the friends you surround yourself with, and your faith will increase. Now, on the flip side, if you want to lose your faith, here's what you do. Act like you don't have it. And just fill your life with other things as if that relationship with God didn't matter to you. And guess what? It will stop mattering to you and your faith will fade away. Guys, I'm convinced that if countless young people are losing faith today, it's not because so many of them have grappled with the big questions and reasoned their way through it and concluded, well, there's no God. I think it's rather because they're failing to grapple with the big questions at all. Listen, guys, in Gen X, when we felt the existential angst of life's big questions arising about the meaning of life and what happens when we die and what on earth am I here for, you know what we did? We had to sit there with the angst, feel it, gnaw away at our gut, and think about it and grapple with it until we came up with good answers. Today, you feel the existential angst and the discomfort in your gut, and what do? Oh, that doesn't feel too good. Whew, Snapchat. Guys, we've shallowed ourselves away from God more than anything. And just other things fill the void. But those other things don't really do the job too well, do they? Guys, the same can happen in marriage, by the way, or any important relationship in your life. If you don't nurture it, it dies. So let's land on this. Let's make an act of faith together right now. Wherever you're at, whether you're deeply faithful or you're just on the cusp, and think, yeah, I've seen the reasons. I want to step over the threshold right now. What's stopping you? Right now, let's do it. Before people enter the waters of baptism, they're asked a series of beautiful questions to which they respond, I do. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and wherever you're at spiritually or wherever you're at in the world, driving your car, I want you to answer out loud with a nice big I do. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Make your act of faith. Let's hear it. I do. No, I'm serious. I'm going to do this again because I want to hear your answer out loud. Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? I do. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, was crucified, died, and was buried, rose from the dead, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father? I do. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? I do. This is our faith. This is the faith of the church. We're proud to profess it in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Love you guys. See you next time. Hey, guys. Thank you so much for watching. So excited to announce to you, next October, I'm going to be leading a pilgrimage to Assisi with Father Dave Pavanka. Whoa, it's to celebrate the 800th anniversary of the death of St. Francis of Assisi. We're going to spend a little bit of time in Rome and then spend the rest of the time soaking in the deep peace of that place. Anyone who's been to Italy can tell you that's their favorite place to go. So I figured, hey, why not just sit down there and really soak it in? This is going to be a pilgrimage unlike any other. If God blesses you with the ability to join us, click below this video. It's going to fill up really fast. Hope to see you there. And either way, whether you come or not, I'll be taking you with me in prayer. I love you guys. Thanks for watching.